Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. These words, expressed both by the more contemplative, prayerful Mary and the active, service-oriented Martha, might have been said in sadness, might have been said in anger, or maybe a little bit of both. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We told you 4 days ago he was sick. You were a half hour walk away. If you loved him, why didn't you come sooner? Maybe we felt like Martha and Mary. We've lost a close family member. And we thought, Lord, if you had been here, my mother would not have died. Where were you? Or maybe we experienced the loss of a marriage. Lord, if you had been in my marriage, maybe my marriage would not have died. Where were you? Or your children, as children. Lord, if you had been here, my parents would not have separated or divorced. My brother, my sister would not have died. Where were you? Why weren't you here? Maybe the loss of a job or the diagnosis of a terminal or lifelong illness. Lord, if you had been here, I would not be sick. Why have you allowed this? Some people think that it's irreverent and unholy to express anger or sadness with God. But that's because they do not know the scriptures and they do not know the lives of the saints. You only have to read the Psalms to see David in the Psalms express every human emotion imaginable to God, the most ugly and the most beautiful and everything in between. David knew that our emotions are the font of prayer. All prayer should well up out of our feelings. And it's not like if I'm angry at God and I don't say anything, he doesn't know. God knows our thoughts. He knows our feelings, whether we say it or not. It's not like we're mad at God and all of a sudden we let it out in prayer and he goes, oh, I had no idea you felt that way. Well, we have to talk about this, right? No, God knows our feelings and our thoughts before a word is ever on our mouth. And he wants to hear from us. But oftentimes when we experience death or loss, we turn away from him. We do the exact opposite of what Martha and Mary did. Instead of telling him how we feel, no matter how ugly, we stay at home and we do and say nothing and we avoid him at all costs. But this prayer said in anger or sadness or both is actually an act of faith. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What are they presuming? Christ is a source of life. There is no death in his presence. In saying that, they're believing that he is the Christ. Because if he wasn't, it wouldn't have mattered whether he was there or not. We would still experience death and suffering and divorce and everything in between. But if you had been here, Lord, maybe this wouldn't have happened. This story of Martha and Mary with Lazarus speaks to the heart of the loss we've all experienced in our lives. Whether it's, as I said, divorce, the death of a loved one, an illness, addiction, the loss, the moving away, the leaving of family, friends, the separation of family, the loss of a job, the loss of income, the loss of a home, the repossession of a car. Lord, if you had been here, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Where were you? Where were you, Lord? When we experience the loss of innocence as children, or some kind of trauma, that's a basic, really human question. God, where were you? Why did you allow that to happen? And it's not unholy to say such a prayer. Jesus himself did from the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? When we experience suffering and death, it's an absence of the good. It feels like God has left, but he's supposed to be everywhere. Why would he let this happen? In order for us to grow from these experiences of loss, we must confront, if you will, Jesus in prayer. We must go out to him as Martha did. Lord, where were you? You only had a half hour walk and it took you 4 days? And Christ deeply loved Lazarus. The shortest passage in scripture, Jesus wept, is found in this gospel. And the word in English translated from the Greek, perturbed, really fails to capture what the Greek originally said. He ached from the depths of his bowels. It was a deep, deep agony from the depths of his soul at the loss of Lazarus. Jesus feels our suffering. He suffers with us in our loss. He never intended us for us to suffer, to be sick, or to die. That was a consequence of original sin. But when he is there, new life happens in a way that goes beyond simple physical resurrection. New life happens such that those who believe in him actually live forever. And our death is only a birth into heaven and no longer something to be dreaded, feared, or avoided at all costs. Jesus said, "I have allowed this so that the glory of God might be revealed." His apostles were confused. They didn't understand him. The people didn't understand him. They must have been angry at him. How can you care about us and stay away? Why didn't you come sooner? These are legitimate questions. And Martha and Mary brought them to the Lord. And Jesus went to the place of death, to the tomb where there should have been a stench. And he cries out to you and me behind that stone in the tomb of sin, who refused to go to confession, who refused to change our lives, who refused to get help for mental illness or addiction. And he calls out to us, "Come out. Come out." Now, Lazarus could have stayed in the tomb. But because others were willing to help him and Lazarus accepted the help, the stone was rolled away. Lazarus chose to come out of that tomb of death and darkness and unfaith and addiction and loss and to come to the voice of Jesus calling him. And what did Jesus say? Untie him and let him go. He needed the help of others, not only to get out of the tomb, but to be able to walk freely. It is no different for you and I through the sacrament of confession. You and I need the help of a priest, or another priest in my case, to be untied of the bandages of sin and to be able to walk freely. You cannot get over addiction and mental health most of the time without the help of others. You cannot do it alone. We cannot live our faith alone. We must need others, not only to accept humbly them untying the bandages of our former way of life, of sin, addiction, whatever it may be, but also to walk with us, to remove the stone, and to walk with us toward the voice of Jesus calling us to himself. Because Lazarus did this, he rose from the dead, but eventually he would die. Early traditions tell us that Lazarus went on to become a bishop in the church, but eventually he physically died. I mean, he's not walking around today. So what was the point? To give him another 20, 30, 40 years? No. The point in raising Lazarus from the dead was to instill faith in those around him so that when all of them died, they would live forever in Christ. As the gospel closes today telling us so much, "Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him." Rather than remaining in the tomb of our sadness, our mental health issues, our addiction, the anger and sadness of divorce, of loss, of illness, of old age, whatever it may be, financial struggles, can you hear the voice of Jesus shouting out at you and me, "Come out. Get out of that tomb. Come out of that cave. Come into the light. Listen to my voice. Come to me. And I will send others to untie you. And let us walk together." Because the voice of Christ raises the dead. And in that same way, he calls you and I from death to new life. Holy Week is just a week away. Now we raise our eyes to the heavens, to the Father who tells us to raise your face, lift your chin, lift your head, stop staring at the ground and looking away. The Father calls you, just as Martha told Mary, "The teacher is here and he is asking for you." It is only up to you and I to decide. Will you stay in the tomb, or will you hear his voice and come out and tell him how you feel?